Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We have done many programs about the partial birth abortion ban and the recent ruling, but my audience has never heard a riveting personal story from behind the scenes. In the fall of 2003, there was a woman, Lori Vance, who was just a few feet away from President George W. Bush when he signed the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act into law. Now, that, of course, was challenged. It's been upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. 10 years ago, I would like to ask this Lori Vance. Lori, welcome to Bob Enyart Live. Could we back up 10 years ago and you tell us what you had seen on TV that got you into this battle?
Well, I was watching the House subcommittee hearings, and I believe, as I recall, Kate Michelman and her ilk were gathered for the occasion, and they were giving, I wouldn't call it testimony, but right, they were testifying before the House subcommittee on the issue of partial birth.
And of course, these are pro-abortion activists, NARAL, Planned Parenthood, and so they advocate abortion anyway, anytime, for any reason. They're just
on anyone.
They're radically pro-abortion, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I heard them talking about children who were in the womb with hydrocephalus, with brain outside the head, with holoprosencephaly, meaning many brain centers do not ever form, and so forth. And they said that these are reasons for keeping this procedure legal because it was, quote-unquote, medically necessary. Mm. Well, I knew that was utter nonsense because I had my daughter sitting right next to me on the floor at the time who was playing, who had several of those brain disorders and was sitting there playing with her blocks.
Lori, we could relate to what you're saying right now. You and I have never spoken before, but we've been on the air for 15 years, 5 days a week, and a number of times we have had a guest or taken calls from women who say that they were told by their doctor that their child in the womb had, say, hydrocephalus, water on the brain, and that their child would be severely deformed, would not be able to live a normal life and needs to be aborted. And these women have told us the same story, that they have refused to kill their baby. And then it turns out a very minor operation, putting in a shunt, I think, or a tube from the brain into the stomach, drains the brain, and they have beautiful, normal, healthy children. And so when we've done those shows, so many women would call in and say, I experienced the same thing. I was told I had to kill my baby. I refused, and I have a beautiful child today.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, that's how God has blessed us. Mm. Donna Joy had holoprosencephaly, where many centers of the brain did not form, and there are not two clear hemispheres of the brain. She has hydrocephalus. She has an occipital meningoencephalocele. In other words, brain was on the outside of the head. She had a deformed brain stem. She had microcephaly as far as the formation of the brain goes. I mean, it goes on and on and on with what was wrong with her.
Donna Joy is 16 years old today. Is that right?
She's going to turn 16 this Thanksgiving.
Okay. And how is she today?
Well, for a kid with who I was told had no motor center and would never move independently, I'd say she does very well because she gave a stunning performance as part of our drama team at church last Sunday evening, a week ago Sunday, and she took 2 medals in the state for running track on the Special Olympics team.
Wow, and she's an absolutely beautiful young lady.
We think so.
Well, she is, as we can see by her photos. And also, Lori, we should make it clear, even for children and adults who are severely handicapped, who cannot run track in Special Olympics, their life is equally valuable, and it's equally wrong to think of trying to kill those people, regardless of how severe their handicap.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just spoke with Bobby Schindler this morning about the tragedy that happened in his family with the destruction and willful murder of his sister Terry. And unfortunately, I think we are in a culture that does not completely respect human life. And I think that we are finally on the road to heading back the other way where we do.
Just to let you know, we've had Bobby Schindler on this program, and I pastor a church also, Denver Bible Church, and we had members of our church go down to Florida, and they were part of the local watch there, and some of the people who tried, even though it was in vain, to bring her a cup of water, and of course, that did not succeed, of course, but it was an effort to show that she was loved and cared for, and what had happened to her was wrong.
Absolutely, and the same things tried to be done to my daughter, if you can believe that. I was actually turned into social services by one of the physicians because I fed her.
Wow, what year was that? How old was Donna Joy at that time?
She was just a few weeks old, and she had been readmitted back into the hospital that she was born in. Much to their dismay, I was able to get a pediatric resident to readmit her because they basically had sent her home with no ability to suck or swallow. So they sent her home to starve to death or dehydrate to death. And when she finally lost consciousness in my home, I brought her back to the emergency room. She was readmitted, but only so that they could tell me that, A, she had a shunt infection that she was not going to be treated for, and B, she was not going to receive a feeding tube because of her diagnosis. She was terminal and not worth their effort, and I was, quote-unquote, just prolonging everyone's suffering.
Now, wow. Lori, could you tell us, what city did that happen where you were referred to social services by a doctor?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Baltimore. There's something in Colorado has happened that many Christians around the country haven't heard of, and pro-lifers, but Denver's Children's Hospital advised the parents of a four-year-old boy, Dylan Walborn, he's severely handicapped, to starve him to death, and the Denver Post put a reporter on the story, and he chronicled the 23 days in a lengthy, I don't know if it's a six-page article, lengthy article. He chronicled the starvation death of little Dylan Walborn at the Council of Denver's Children's Hospital. So it's a tragedy that you would be turned into social services for feeding your daughter, but this is what our nation is coming to, where our medical community no longer knows right from wrong.
I know. It's awful, and as bad as it was what you just described, I can believe it because I lived it. Mm-hmm. I had to sneak food in under cover of darkness at night under my jacket.
Oh my.
I had to make up a formula for her that was heavy enough to be held in the stomach by using gravity because she had no ability, again, to suck or swallow. So I had to literally create a pasty sort of formula out of baby products and hold her up, and using a syringe, I fed her literally one drop at a time keep her from choking to death and starving to death.
So Donna Joy has a hero for a mom. Now, could we continue, because I've interrupted the telling of the story. So you saw this on TV. You saw how horrendous it was that these pro-abortion advocates were using whatever argument they could to say, we need to do partial birth abortions on these kids. And here was your daughter sitting in the room, and she had many of these conditions, and you identified immediately how evil these arguments were.
Well, yeah, I knew it was a lie because I had the truth sitting right in front of me.
So then what happened then?
Well, I immediately took her to see Congressman Roscoe Bartlett. In fact, I just spoke with him today as well. I took her to see him, and he immediately put me in touch with Senator Rick Santorum, who then asked me, would you please bring your daughter to Washington so that we can share this miraculous story with the nation.
And Rick Santorum from Pennsylvania, he sponsored, or was a primary sponsor of the partial birth abortion ban.
Right, absolutely.
Okay.
And so we did. We shared our story. We did a lot of press conferences with Rick at our side. And shortly thereafter, I began hearing from parents of children like Donna Joy, who began to fight for their children. And so because of Donna's notoriety, there are probably children today, I have not followed up with these parents, but, you know, there are children today that are alive and doing well because of her.
Hmm. Yeah, I have no doubt that's the case. Every time that we put forth an example of life conquering the killing of the innocent, then, of course, there's tremendous fruit that comes of that. So, okay, so you guys got involved in the goal of passing this partial birth abortion ban act, and then how did that proceed? What was, because you ended up with the president, where did he sign this bill?
At the Ronald Reagan Amphitheater.
Okay.
In, near the White House.
Okay. And so you were there. What led up to that? That was quite a step from meeting Rick Santorum to being there. So you were involved in the process?
Well, yes, I was. We traveled the country and did talk shows like yours, getting support, public support for the ban on partial birth, which wasn't real tough to do because you'd have to be insane to say that this is okay.
Yeah, it's an evil. Every abortion, every intentional killing of an unborn child is wrong. It's sinful. But partial birth abortion was one of the most visibly obvious that this is a brutal murder of an innocent child. And so it has a visceral reaction with people in their gut. They're repulsed. And so we, of course, oppose abortionists doing this to children. And so there was a lot of support in the pro-life community and even by people who are not pro-life to stop partial birth abortion.
I met a couple of abortionists. They were part of a group called Physicians Ad Hoc Coalition for Truth. In other words, they came together with pro-life physicians on this one single issue because not only is it absolutely abhorrent, but it was their feeling that it was dangerous to women, and they were against NARAL and others saying that it was medically necessary because they knew, even in their abortion practices, it's not medically necessary. It's a rogue procedure that was invented for the convenience of the abortionist in question.
So this was Physicians for Choice?
They were. I met a couple of physicians, part of a group called Physicians Ad Hoc Coalition for Truth. They were abortionists who came together with pro-life OBGYNs for this one single issue, because they felt that it was, as I said, a rogue procedure that really has no place in the practice of medicine.
Okay, of course, that's right. So Physicians Ad Hoc Coalition for Truth.
Right.
Do you remember, that's an important piece of the overall picture, do you remember any of their names? I hate to just ask you that out of the blue, but
I do not.
Okay,
I
that's
not.
Fine.
It's been too long.
All right, okay, So you did talk shows, you traveled around, you found that there was tremendous support, which of course there was, to stop this gruesome killing of children. And
we were also visible any time abortion was discussed in D.C., you know, as far as committee hearings and debates on the floor, we were present for all of that.
And you were
sure that Donna was there.
You lived close enough where you could get there, and so you guys were a part of the battle.
Right. We met with different fence-sitting legislators who might not be essentially pro-life, but weren't really sure how they felt about partial birth.
Mm-hmm.
So we would go and visit with them. We went and visited with anyone that, you know, Rick would ask us to. And in the end, I believe he said he got, Donna Joy got him like 10 or 12 more votes in the Senate that he would have not gotten had Donna not gotten involved.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so So then could you tell me, is there anything on the day of the signing of the legislation that sticks out in your mind that you could tell us about?
Wow, just the thrill of being invited, you know, to such a thing. I had never met a sitting president before, and even though we were not allowed to interact with him in any way that day, it was still very much a thrill. It was vindication. After years and years of hard work, we had finally gotten it to the president's desk to be signed. And I will never forget, after sitting there for hours with the Secret Service agents that had been assigned to us, all of a sudden the whole room went to dead silence. And then you hear this big booming voice that comes from nowhere saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States." And he walked out onto the stage. And to this day, I do not know if they did play Hail to the Chief, but I can hear it in my head,
mm-hmm.
you know, as I recall this memory. And he began to speak on the issue of life and protecting children, and it was incredibly moving, and I was very impressed at what a man of conviction he was.
We have also had Gianna Jessen on this program. I imagine you know of Gianna Jessen, if maybe you even know her.
I do not know her. I've always wanted to be put in touch with her.
Yeah, we have contact information for her, and I'm sure she'd be happy for us to share that with you. And she tells a similar story, and, of course, she was herself aborted,
right.
And she survived. And, in fact, we had her out here on a couple of occasions to speak. We've had her on this program, TV version of Bob and Your Live, radio version, and she's a powerful testimony for God and against the abortion industry. So, and she tells a very similar story. Well, could I ask you this then, Lori, about your daughter, Donna Joy? You told us about her physical capability. Could I ask you just about her mental capability, her social interactions with folks?
Well, she socially interacts more like, I'd say a fifth or sixth grader. She's in eighth grade at mm-hmm. Rogersville Middle School, and she just brought home all A's on her final report card.
Wow.
Yeah, she was very excited to show me. And her best subject is math, although she does enjoy social studies, which was not a surprise to me considering that she practically grew up in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, right. And you said she was in a drama program at church last week. What did she do there?
She's part of a blacklight drama team, you know, that white glove
yeah.
drama that all the kids are doing.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, she's part of our church's drama team, and she really gave, like I said, a stunning performance.
Well,
to the Stephen Curtis Chapman song, Speechless.
Mm. Well, Lori Vance, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us this personal story and a riveting story behind the partial birth abortion ban effort. And I'd like to know, would you have the time if you and I could chat after we go off the air? Is that possible?
Sure, that'd be fine.
Okay, do you have a website that we could let people know about?
Anyone can go to ambassadorspeakers.com, and they'll see a picture of myself and Donna Joy there together. And if anyone would like to contact me, whether or not they have a sick child
sure.
or if they would like for me to speak, I'd be happy to counsel with them, pray with them.
Wow.
They can call my ministry number at 423-272-9470.
Mm-hmm. Let me get that right here. 423-272-9470.
I'd like for you to put me in touch with that family you mentioned.
Yes, DylanWalborn.com. If you go to that website, it's
okay.
Dylan, D-Y-L-A-N, Walborn, W-A-L-B-O-R-N.com. And the tragedy, Lori, is that the parents were in agreement with Children's Hospital, and they, in fact, did starve their little boy to death. It took 23 days for him to die.
And I did not know that.
Yes, and the Denver Post documented those final days. They had a reporter that was there on and off, and he wrote what was supposed to be a warm and tender, loving story. They actually had a going away party for their child.
Oh, and dear.
The Denver Public Schools teachers came, social service workers came, the pastor of a local megachurch came, and this was a tragic time in American history where a four-year-old handicapped child was euthanized. And in Colorado, Colorado law and our medical ethics requirements, they very carefully define starving someone to death as not killing them and not euthanizing them. So that's how our medical community and our legislators have made it legal for hospitals and doctors to euthanize people in Colorado just behind the scenes, and people, the general public, is somewhat unaware that it's happening.
Perhaps Donna Joy and I need to have a chat with your ethics board and have make a visit to your legislature.
Well, I tell you, we here at Bob and Yurt Live will do what we can to see if we could figure out a way to get you an invite or get you to testify. We'll try to make that happen.
I would like someday even to see feeding tubes required as part of basic care.
As part of basic care. You know, if someone is irreversibly dying, for example, someone who's been racked with cancer for 10 years and they're irreversibly dying, or someone has just been in a traffic accident where they are irreversibly dying, it is okay to let an irreversibly dying person die, but it is not okay to starve to death a human being. That is not okay.
To grant to God what is His. It's all right to, you know, there are clearly times like during my father's death when he was actively dying.
Exactly.
And we knew that he was, and we gathered around and we said our goodbyes. It is not okay ever to take that out of God's hands and actively euthanize or starve someone to death.
We are in complete agreement, Lori Vance. And you know what was tragic? Let's just add one more bit of information to this. During the struggle for Terri Schiavo, of course, it was a heroic struggle, and tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people were involved in some way, making phone calls, letters, calling into talk shows.
I was involved in that also.
Yes, and that was a heroic struggle. Well, a very sad thing happened that we documented during the last few months of her life. Many Christian pro-life leaders began saying, and in fact, we even initiated a bill in Congress that said if Terri had signed a living will, if she had done the paperwork, then it would be okay to kill her. But because there was no paperwork, therefore this was wrong. And what happened, we documented as Christian leader after Christian leader was making the statement, and pro-life organization after organization. In fact, there was a bill introduced in Congress, you might recall it, and this bill would have recognized for the first time in federal law any state law that authorized the writing of a living will to euthanize a patient by starvation. And
wow.
And that was part that it's confusing to wrap your mind around this, because that was all done by pro-life Christians. Pro-life Christians were desperate to save Terri Schiavo. But in that desperate attempt, they thought that if they focused on the fact that she did not have a living will, and therefore she could not be killed, and then they went one step further, and they actually said, this is on Hannity and Combs, this is by all Christian leaders whose names you would recognize, they said, if she had a living will, this would be okay, but she did not, therefore it's wrong. So with the battle for Terri's life, the Christian pro-life community crossed the line and actually began to advocate living wills that would withhold food and water from people and starve them to death. And as a result, newspaper article after article all over the country had examples of people, church people, who their pastors would say, you have to go and make sure you sign a living will. And thousands of Christians undoubtedly signed living wills that asked for their caregivers to starve them to death, to withhold food and water.
Well, not me. I like my food. And
good for you.
My family knows that.
Yes.
And I have signed a will stating that they are not to ever withdraw food and fluids from me, no matter what my condition.
Yes.
It's also written that if I am actively dying, then let me go. But if I simply incapacitated for any period of time, do not keep food and fluids from me.
Yeah, you don't deny someone of food and water. You don't starve someone to death. You don't do that. You might even remember the name of the bill. In fact, you know, it was a huge news story. It was the Incapacitated Persons Legal Protection Act. I don't know if you recall that. This is the night when George W. Bush flew back to Washington from his ranch in an emergency signing of legislation, and there were two bills. And he ended up signing the Terri Schiavo Act, and National Right to Life had introduced, through their representatives, the Incapacitated Persons Legal Protection Act. And that act, for the first time ever, would have acknowledged euthanasia laws at the state level, and it would have acknowledged them as lawful and legitimate in federal law. So we were thankful that that law failed. We were thankful that our pro-life groups did not succeed in passing that law, which would have legalized euthanasia at that level. So when we fight this battle, we have to be wise.
Right.
We can't just try hard. We also have to do what's right. So, Lori Vance, thank you so very much for joining us.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure.
May God bless you. That was Lori Vance, Donna Joy's mom, a personal story behind the partial birth abortion ban and the act coming into law. Now, I said to Lori, I'd like to talk to you after the show, and it'll be an honor to do that. And, of course, during that interview, I did not broach the topic of our criticism of the partial birth abortion ban itself or of the ruling. And Lori had asked, I'd like to tell our story, but I don't want to debate that. But she's happy to talk off the air, and so we will. We'll have a good talk, I'm sure. And I think we got to share a lot of important information back and forth, and I appreciate it. I think it's an honor to speak with her. And the fact that she was there just feet from the president when he signed this ban gives us an indication that our concern, our warning about the ban and the ruling is permeating through the pro-life movement. The pro-life movement is aware of this criticism that the ban never had any authority to save even a single child's life. So that was worthwhile, and please check out our website, kgov.com. I just had an interview with the Washington Post. They are doing a story on our open letter to Dr. Dobson that ran in the Capitol in D.C. in the Washington Times this week. So stay tuned for updates on that. Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school, Maranatha.